Well, good morning. We'll have our recipients. Nice thing is, I promised myself 5 minutes, and John did me the honor of getting rid of two of these cards, so I'm down to 2.5. So it's perfect. So good morning, I'm Tom Leary, and as it says, I'm Senior Director for Federal Affairs for the Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society. We're a not-for-profit organization dedicated to transforming healthcare delivery by enabling it through the use of health IT and management systems. We have a multi-year relationship with CDC and the public health community, and it's an honor, and we're very thankful for the opportunity to announce the Public Health Davies Award here at the Finn Conference this year. As John stated, the Nicholas E. Davies Award was established in 1995 right here in Georgia to recognize excellence in the adoption and use of electronic health records in the hospital setting. When we merged with the Computerized Patient Record Institute in 2002, we expanded the categories, and in 2004, we awarded the first Public Health Davies to recognize excellence in the adoption and use, of any health IT solution in the public health setting that improves public health. I'd like at this time just see if we have any past Davies Award winners in the crowd, if we can recognize them real quick. No, there we go, there's Amy. Amy and Bill are actually our chair and co-chair of our Public Health Davies Award committee as well, so let's real quick applause for them. It's days like today when I'm reminded of a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, who stated, "First start with what's necessary, then move to what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible." Like their colleagues before them, the 2009 Public Health Davies Award winners are performing the possible so that we all can get to a state of healthcare delivery that some have thought impossible. So it's my pleasure, on behalf of HIMSS, to announce the two award recipients for the 2009 Public Health Davies, the Boston Health Public Health Commission Infectious Disease Bureau, and the Denver Public Health Information Service. Ms. Julia Gunn, who is the director of the Communicable Disease Control Division in Boston, and Dr. Arthur Davis, the Director of Public Health Informatics and Preparedness for Denver, will be offering some insight on their award-winning programs. So we'll start with Ms. Gunn.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. BSINSS is the Boston Public Health Commission's syndromic surveillance system. BSINSS was deployed in 2004 in preparation for the Democratic National Convention. Since that time, all 10 hospitals in Boston provide emergency department visits. So this past July, we celebrated our 5-year anniversary, and we have a data warehouse that provides us with information on emergency room department activity that is longitudinal and is important in assessing the activity in Boston, not only today, but from a historical perspective. Information sent includes age, gender, and race ethnicity, zip code of primary residence, chief complaint, ICD-9 codes when they are available. Information is received daily electronically. Formats vary to accommodate the various information systems at the hospitals. This is an ears-based system, and chief complaints are standardized using EMTP, which was developed by Debbie Travers at the University of North Carolina. Chief complaints are then categorized into symptoms, and symptoms become the building blocks for the development of syndromes. This allows us to have a highly flexible system to assess public health problems as they emerge or ask additional questions as new information becomes available. BCNSS fundamentally changed how the Boston Public Health Commission thinks about surveillance and approaches information and strategies. We knew we came of age when the press calls us and says, "What are you seeing in syndromic surveillance?" In that process, our practice then changed the system. Initially, it was designed for bioterrorism, but we have since shifted into events of public health significance and situation awareness. This has been an evolutionary process so that together, the system and our practice have grown and we continue to evolve together to better assess the health of the citizens of Boston and persons who seek care in our healthcare institutions. A few examples of how we're using these systems. This is actually flu activity in Boston over the last four flu seasons and its relationship to reported cases. The large spikes that you see at the end of the graph are our H1N1 experience. And we saw huge increases in health-seeking behavior for ILI in our hospitals, and we also had a significant number of cases during that time period. The first spike just preceding that reflects not only illness, but persons seeking health care for either being the worried well or the worried sick. And it also has implications for response and the need for better communication and messaging. BCNSS has allowed us to participate and distribute. And this is a graph that looks at the New York City distribute experience compared to the Boston experience. A critical factor here for us was what was going to be happening. And so that you see, Boston always lagged New York City by about a week to 10 days throughout this experience. This became incredibly critical because by mid-June, we had closed 20 schools because many of them could no longer function, and we had significant illness in our communities. And slowly we began to see a downturn. But there were very shifting activity in terms of testing paradigms. And so people wanted to know, are we really seeing the downturn? And they said, but it went up again because we had a downturn in the beginning of May. And then we had enormous activity. And it was very reassuring to our leaders to say, well, we've been following patterns in New York and we're very similar, and they had a downturn about a week to 10 days ago, and they've been holding. So we had a good sense that we had turned the corner and that we were going to ride it out through the end of the school year. Public health is often asked, can you find out if? And you don't always have the same information. You may not have complete information. There are no resources to obtain the information. And so we have to think about the data sources that we have, and we think creatively within that matrix. And we were asked to estimate the impact of H1N1 among Boston residents. And using the information the BCNSS made available to us, we were able to estimate the population impact of H1N1. We estimated that approximately 4% of the population in Boston had H1N1, and by age groups, the highest age group was among those 15 to 17, with an estimate of about 11%. Followed by children less than 5 years of age with very little activity in the 65 plus age group. We've stratified and made these kind of estimates for various demographic factors, including race, ethnicity, and have been able to identify pockets of disproportional activity by race, ethnicity, and that has been helpful in our planning strategies as we move forward. So why did we embark on this process? You look at the application process, there's a lot of questions to answer, and we're all very busy and it can be daunting. But the application process became an opportunity for us to think about how did we get here? How did the system evolve? Oftentimes we're busy moving on to the next crisis, modifications are made on the fly. We sometimes forget what were the processes. Also, it became an opportunity to think about what worked really well, what were some of the barriers and challenges. And equally important is to think about what comes next. What should the system evolve to? What are our ideas and wish lists for future development and growth? Because these systems must grow and develop, or they will die just like the dinosaurs. And we have identified activities, strategies for the next evolution, and we have operationalized some of these in preparation for H1. But having laid out that roadmap allowed us to quickly strike when opportunities presented themselves. Also, we thought about the implications. We're moving towards data standards, interoperability, and health information exchange. And we are growing and developing in that domain. Are we where we want to be? No. Will we get there? Yes. And in that process, we need to be thinking how public health systems like BCNSS will evolve and grow with these changes, and what will be the impact on our processes. But the third part, which is near and dear to my heart, is the response. Once data becomes flowing and we have the standards and it's easier, we have more complete information, we then need to move that on the continuum to information. And that is to take the data and to inform within the context of action that will then drive response to deal with public health issues. And we need to be visionary and think beyond H1N1, but begin to think about violence, obesity, cancer, asthma, and other infectious disease. And also the next unknown, because there will be something. The response drives the need for data, and it becomes an informed process so that what we collect is important to our constituents and can improve their life and well-being. These processes help us take the pulse of Boston every day. I'd like to acknowledge our team from the Boston Public Health Commission, the CDC EARS program that gave us the tools to embark on this journey, and Debbie Travers from North Carolina, who gave us the capacity to standardize chief complaints to improve our flexibility to respond to emerging problems in public health in the greater Boston area. And most of all, to the HIMSS group for acknowledging our work in Boston. Thank you all very much.
Nice job. Julie, do you have the, and it's the green one, right?
Good morning. I want to thank HIMSS and the Evaluation Committee for this opportunity and wonderful acknowledgement of the work that my colleague Dean McEwen and I come here to represent on behalf of our health department. First, I'd like to just describe a little bit about where our health department sits. You can see about 2:30, 3 o'clock on this diagram. I come from Denver Health. It's an integrated health information health system, and it includes a variety of other services, family health centers, health plan, an inebriation center, correctional care, poison center, emergency response, the 911, and level one trauma center, and the hospital that serves about 20 to 25% of Denver's under and uninsured population. And around that, all of this exists in the context of employed practitioners, physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners. And around that, the CEO, Patty Gabeau, has spent a lot of effort over the last 15 years really developing the HIT environment. So it's in that context that we're able to do what I'm going to describe. The goals of this project, this information system, were to have a phased implementation of an automated electronic exchange to reduce human costs in managing data and create quality improvement opportunities. And within the Denver Public Health System, there is a Denver Health Metro clinic that provides STD care. And we were going to build an electronic medical record that had bi-directional reporting, improve the state's and our capacity to be productive, eliminate unnecessary forms and reports, direct resources from clerical services, managing the paper, to a more efficient client-based services, build flexible data collection tools, provide feedback loops to providers, ready access to population-level data, and an interface to other public health programs, including family planning and immunization. Now, this diagram may be a little bit complex, but in the middle, you can see the black area, which is the electronic medical record. And it has currently, with this process, we've been able to develop two and working on more HL7 interfaces to the Denver Health Laboratory and to the CDPHE Integrated Data Repository. We also have that sitting in the center there, and it's driving to the left an HIV care process that includes surveillance, linkage to care, retention in care, adherence to medication. So we have something that's sort of unique, given the circle I showed at the beginning of the entire environment. It's sort of what I think the virtual organization will look like in the future when we have fully integrated and authorized access to information across agencies and organizations. It's allowing public health data to flow to serve personal health care and personal health care to flow back to serve public health. Something I think that happens because we have this integrated personal and public health care environments. And the partners in this process were, as I mentioned, Denver Public Health, the STD, the HIV, the Public Health Informatics Group that Dean, my colleague, lead, the people at Denver Health who provide e-health services in the laboratory, the state health departments, HIV surveillance, STD surveillance, and laboratory services. Siemens was a partner in that they allowed us to use a rules engine. It was the first time they allowed anybody to use the rules engine with external data to process the data using the Arden syntax, and then the software integration services provided by EMC in Denver. Now, again, this is the picture of surveillance, and now you can see that surveillance is being fed at the bottom on the right-hand side by the STD clinic, this health doc system, the EMR, but it's served by the many other places as well. So we're building this to serve not only personal health care, but public health in the sense that we do lots of surveillance activities and wanted to be sure that we could easily integrate data from an EMR into that process. I'm not going to go into detail here. So what did we gain? What was the value of this effort? You can see on this slide, we've got quite a few things listed. I'm just going to quickly go over them. There's not a lot of time. But there was we did achieve reduced general costs, and we increased or improved the data accuracy. This is what I consider a green initiative. We got rid of all of those forms, something on the order of about 40 to 50,000 forms over the course of a year. So that allowed this information to flow and make people more efficient. But more importantly, and what most people would care about as a return on investment, are these circled items in yellow. Are the hours saved of work? And when you add all that up, it's a little bit shy of about 2 FTE per year that were spent on developing logs, developing forms, processing the forms, entering things, answering phones. All that is something that we found very valuable and allowed us to then direct those resources to better patient care, expanding STD services to then include immunization, more comprehensive care for women and for men around family planning as well. We were able to as well have, as I mentioned, more comprehensive services, integrate a clinical decision support into the process. We were a paper-based system and really did not have anywhere near the type of point-of-care decision support prior to this implementation. And as I mentioned, we were able to support other programs, vaccines, family planning, and surveillance systems. We allowed for the real-time transfer for exchange of surveillance data. We reduced reporting time from 4.2 days to less than 1 day for data that comes out of the STD clinic, out of the STD clinic lab. So these are the things that we gained by implementing this system. And we were able to then do CDC-funded projects as well, like gonorrhea surveillance, genital wart surveillance, and surveillance of trichomoniasis. I guess I'll just end by these key lessons. Our old system was obsolete, and that was a great motivation for changing to a new system. So we had that factor, that momentum on our side. I think one of the key factors was that we spent a fair amount of time listening to the end users, finding out what their needs were so that we designed a system that we would be well accepted, and now the clinicians feel is the only way that they would be able to provide care. There was a willingness by most of the end users to experiment with new technology. Unfortunately, some didn't, and they had to leave that environment. This was not a place that they could continue to work. And we had some resources available, of course. That's a success. And a pathway to success is having the resources and finding a technology solution to solve the issues and concerns about privacy and security. I mentioned the concern that we needed a rules engine and figuring out a way how to send the data anonymously, because this is public health data, to the rules engine and have it return was a real feat for a challenge for us and for Siemens. And lastly, I must comment on how important it was to live inside this environment, that for us to be able to do this, we needed the partnerships that we had, the partnership with the state, but in particular the partnership with our e-health services within Denver Health. They helped us immensely in this project management, in controlling deployment costs, in supporting a stable and secure infrastructure, maintaining the system, and enhancing system performance and function. Without them, this would not have been possible. So I think that one of the key lessons for me is find someone or some partner with whom you can do things in public health that will benefit them as well as your own shop, rather than trying to go it alone. So I'll just put up here the names and contacts of all the people who are involved, and I appreciate this once again, HIMSS and the committee for selecting us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
How about one more round of applause for our 2009 public health recipients? I want to thank all of you for this morning, and let's keep working on what's possible, and I look forward to all of you applying and being on this stage in the future. One more round of applause. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, sir. I hope everyone had the opportunity to view the variety of posters on display in the exhibit hall. This is the third year we've taken the opportunity to present posters, and this year we broke our record, having 68 poster presentations. We would like to express our gratitude to the 29 individuals who took time from the conference to evaluate and judge each poster. We sincerely appreciate your time and dedication to the Finn community. To announce this year's winners and present their certificates, I'd like to introduce to you the co-leads for the poster session, Dr. Laura Fransky and Dr. Janice Richards.
Good morning, everyone. Today, the Finn Conference wants to acknowledge and recognize the sharing of public health research and practice knowledge through the medium of posters and poster presentations. As John mentioned, this is the third year of the poster competition. I put up a fairly rigorous process to come up with the winners of this poster competition, and I think we've come up with some very good ones this year. As John also mentioned, we have 28 judges this year, and I would like to take a moment to acknowledge those judges. It was a very interesting process where we had lots of discussion about the winners and what was really important in public health practice and research. I would like to ask the judges to stand and be acknowledged with a round of applause.